Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
All right, back by popular demand. As I said, we've got the relationship feature back here with us on Point of View, and we're going to have lots of fun. Guys, hold on to your seats. We're going to have lots of fun. Do not ask me any questions. I know nothing about nothing. I'm just here to facilitate. So we have none other than, in fact, many of you know her as Dr. Gani on the socials and so on. But we have Dr. Mpumezenta in studio with us to walk us through this very interesting, intimate conversation about relationships. Hello, Dr. Mpumeha.
Hello, gorgeous Pamela. How are you doing?
Well, we're happy for seeing you.
I'm happy to be here. This has always been home. So.
It's absolutely home. Yeah. So welcome, welcome, everybody. This is obviously your time. It's your time to just ask away. Ask away, comment away. It's also, you know, your platform as well. So 086-000-00959. WhatsApp number is 063-688-0959. Let's go. So what are we talking about today?
Oh, wow. Is it an open line?
It's going to be open, but... Okay. There is a conversation that I'm told we're going to kick it off with.
Yeah.
And this is about communication.
Yeah. And it's a big one.
Yeah.
It's a really big one. Ironically, you know, I was chatting to a few friends that we were with over the weekend. And one of the big things is not only that we struggle to communicate well and clearly, but also sometimes we are mean when we communicate.
Yes.
If we can be just a little bit kinder and lace it with a lot of grace, it makes the space a lot more safer for the person who's receiving on the other end. And we often are, especially when there's conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Conflict is generally the one area, if we're not in agreement, where daggers come out. People are very nice when everything is going well, but when there is a difficult conversation, we really, really struggle as a people.
And, you know, the thing about it is that people walk into relationships with everybody comes with their own baggage.
Yeah.
Everyone. There is nobody comes perfect. Nobody arrives perfect. And sometimes that baggage, which is not yours as a relationship, but it comes into this relationship and suddenly you have fireworks, somebody throwing missiles and you have no idea Where did that come from?
Yeah. And I think that's especially when it comes to romantic relationships, you know, I always say you gotta like the person you're with first and foremost. Like, if you were not sharing a bed or other things romantic, at the very least, you've got to like the person. You've got to have a lot of respect for who they are as an individual, first and foremost. I think there is also this idea of when we get into the relationship, we are often so filled with our own building castles in the sky about what we think it will be.
Mm.
And then the reality of actually living out a relationship with another human being, you realize, oh, snap. We are very different. We have different communication styles. We've got different baggages. We've got different preferences to things. And suddenly that dream in your head is no longer what you thought it would be. And if you haven't spent time to get to know the real human being you are with, you're going to continue to struggle because you're going to bump heads all the time.
So what's the way to do it? Is it to come into the relationship and immediately say, okay, Mr. X, Miss X, this is who you're dealing with here. This is me. Is it that? Is it that you must lay out and lay open all the cards and say, okay, I'm grumpy in the morning. I'm, you know, whatever. I've got a high pressure job. I've got, I don't know, whatever. I've got financial pressures or whatever the case may be. Or I'm studying, whatever. And as a result, actually, it was nice courting. But in reality, maybe I have too little time. Maybe I don't have enough time. Yeah. And so, you know, this is how I am going to be navigating this relationship with you because I've only got capacity for X.
Yeah. I love the word you use, courting, because courting says no pressure, no expectation. I just want to get to know who you are. And I want you to get a feel of who I really am. Because a lot of the times, I mean, I mean, you do get people who say, you know, they've known each other for a very long time. But even then, if they were never in a relationship together, like a romantic relationship, they were friends or whatever the relationship may have been before. When you start saying, now it's you and me, we are doing this together, I like the courting aspect, because one of the key elements of communicating or relationship is honesty and transparency. The how and the when. Yes. So you speak about, like, do you get first day and you're like, yeah, this is who, yes, I am. Well, you might just chase, yeah, a lot of people away.
Yeah.
Right.
You're going to scare them.
And also there are things that you may feel very comfortable to share with one person, but not with another. Mm. So what courting and that friendship phase does is it gives you an idea of knowing, can I create a safe space for the next person? Do I feel safe with this person with certain things in my life?
Mm.
And start with the light thing. Start with, this is the type of person I am. Mm. Oh, I'm a little bit OCD, so just be aware. And also, we need to, as individuals, take the responsibility of. So, well, with all these things that you are coming with, how do you plan on navigating with your baggages whilst in you've got another human being? Yes.
Yeah.
Because you can't say, well, I'm OCD, deal with it, take it or leave it. Because relationships don't work like that.
Yeah.
How do we find common ground and to have the humility to say, I struggle with X, please help me, please teach me, please give me time, please be patient with me.
So let's open the lines, 086-000-0959. We can also listen to those voice notes on 063-688-0959. And the question really is simple. How are you doing in your relationship communication-wise? You know, are you finding it easy? Has it always been easy? Because sometimes maybe it's good for a while and then there's a dip.
Yeah.
You know, and is it because there's a dip doesn't mean it's all over? Mm-hmm. You know, how do we rekindle that again? So let's hear from you and let me hear how you're doing in your relationship. How are you doing in your relationship communication wise? Are you good with how you're communicating? Have you developed some sort of a knowing of, okay, she doesn't have to say anything, but I just know she's not good. You know, how are you navigating that? So let me take your calls on this one, 086-000-0959. I'm having a conversation with Dr. Mpume, Dr. Gaini, for many of you, Zenda, and we're discussing communication in a relationship, navigating how, you know, we can make this communication thing easier for each other. You said something earlier about how sometimes we must be mindful of being mean, trying to get a message across.
Yeah.
That sometimes, yes, you may feel irritable and whatever the case may be, but remember, you want to be back tomorrow and find a safe landing.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. There's a beautiful, I love, they're called Julie and John Gottman. They've done some amazing research, and they've got what you call the four horsemen's, which are basically four elements that can predict a relationship is not going to work.
Mm.
It's literally going to run it down eventually. And it has to do with negative communication styles.
Mm.
You know, the first one is criticism. Nobody loves to be criticized, and criticizing is not just about pointing out something that you don't like. It's when you then go for the person's character.
Hmm.
Oh, you're always late. That's just who you are.
Mm.
As opposed to saying, babe, I really struggle with the fact that sometimes we are late for an event. It makes me feel uncomfortable. Please can we find a way so that we don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You phrase it differently. Mm. So that's criticism.
Mm.
Then you get probably the worst one, which is contempt. Contempt is just outright mean. Mm. And it doesn't only include like verbal. So it even just gestures, you know, rolling your eyes. Sarcasm. And at the core of it.
And this person is talking about you.
Yes. That one, you know, when we looked at research, it is the one of the one that has probably the most damaging, because it demeans the person on the other side. Mm. It has a lack of respect, and literally, it's like awungboni.
Absolutely, awungboni. Yeah.
So that becomes really.
Aso solo ewena and oh, I babone. Dr. Selby, good evening. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Temelo. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Dr. Selby?
I'm blessed beyond measure.
Excellent.
How are you, my sister?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
I'm blessed beyond measure.
Thank you, sir.
You know, Temelo, communication is good, but for you to enjoy communication, you have to tell yourself that I'm not Mr. Know-it-all.
Mm.
Number one. We have to be prepared to learn in order to enjoy communication. And you have to be prepared to say I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And not to say I'm sorry where you see that I'm wrong. Because you can do something and don't see that we are wrong. But as long as the next person say I don't like this, then you do not have to try to justify what you have done.
You know, one of the things. Thank you, Dr. Selby. One of the things I want to ask is whether you should also know when to communicate.
Yes.
And when it's best to not say anything.
Yes.
Because sometimes, yes, communication is good.
Yeah.
But maybe not now.
Not now.
Maybe one of you must calm down.
Yes.
And then maybe talk when the tempers have, you know, just cooled a little bit. And then you can then talk. Because communication is good, but I'm not sure it's always good to communicate when you can sense yourself that you are either fuming and you're going to say something that you're going to regret.
In fact, it's one of the antidotes, particularly for things like, you know, criticism and because when we are not okay, when we are angry about something, when we are upset about something, there's also physiological changes that happen in our bodies. Mm. Our heart rate starts to increase.
To race,
You know, our pupils, you know, you start sweating and you can feel you are not
okay. The heat levels are rising.
That's your body telling you, stop, take a break. Go off a really important conversation when you can feel exactly what
the temperature rising within you.
It's always good to self-regulate yourself. Stop, take a walk, excuse yourself from the person that you are in conversation with and say, I don't feel okay. And be clear to say,
not now.
If I continue,
not now.
I will just hurt you and I will hurt myself in the process.
Yeah.
Not now. Can we do it later? Even when you're like coming to say something, so you are the one who's like got a thing, you find somebody there sitting watching TV or their favorite show. Like, find the right time.
What happens when this person never wants to communicate? Everybody's laughing. When it's never a good time. They're never good enough to talk.
And that's a trait we see quite a lot. A lot of, some people they don't like
confrontation. They don't want to.
They jump out of there. Yeah. And so you can't have a relationship with someone like that. It's difficult. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be frustrating. And for the person who's always trying to communicate, they're going to find themselves feeling hurt, which will lead to bitterness, which will lead to somebody's going to check out.
So the trick is to find the balance.
Find the balance. And I think, you know, I always say, it's so cliched. We say, oh, communicate in relationships.
Yes,
but
all of us.
The first step we need to really be aware of, and I'm glad we are having this conversation with our Kaya people, our home people, which is a lot of us Black people haven't grown up in families
communicating
where we are taught how to communicate. As children, a lot of the times when the parents are sitting alone, you're just sort of, hamala, hamala, why are you sitting with adults? So there was always sort of like, you only speak when you are spoken to.
Yes.
So you never got the confidence and the skill to know that, first and foremost, it is your right to communicate your feelings.
The expectation to hear certain things, like the expectation to want to be told you are loved all the time.
Yes.
That could be a problem.
Yes.
Because as you said, some people are not, you know, they were not brought up in those spaces where saying I love you was the thing every day.
Yeah.
Right? But they do feel that they love you.
Yes.
But when you start measuring how many times they're going to tell you that they love you, and you want to use that as a yardstick of whether they love you or not, it can be a problem.
It can be a problem. But this is where then we, first and foremost, we each individual has to be willing. And he said it well, our caller, you have to be willing to learn.
Communication, to listen, yes.
Yeah, communication is not something that just happens by osmosis. And we just pick it up, and just because you speak nice English or nice Zulu, you think you can communicate. No. The art of communicating with the next person is something that you need to be willing to learn. And it does mean sometimes read a bit more, do podcasts, hear also what other people are saying about how you communicate
and
take to heart.
And some struggle with a friendship that's a relationship that started off as a friendship where there was a particular way this person used to communicate to you because they were your friend.
Yes.
And you are now struggling with the fact that it hasn't evolved. He still says Eta.
Like I'm one of the boys.
He's still sharp. He still speaks to you like one of the guys.
Yeah.
And you're thinking,
I think the mistake we make, and especially I think a lot of the times us as women, is we assume that they should know. We're like, they must just read my mind and know.
And this is the level.
It's like you're talking about something specific here.
The level of communication. It ends there. And then he doesn't go beyond the
you're complaining about that again.
He doesn't finish a sentence. He just says, he's now yes.
No, that's not
ever.
Let us do better.
But I mean, you can't change that kind of a guy. Can you?
Again, Pamela, you know when we say we're getting into a relationship, it's knowing that it's going to be work, but also to give the next person a little bit of leverage in terms of you can't come and say, this is who I am, I'm an individual, this is all I know, and just not be willing to move from anything that is familiar to you. There are things you're going to have to do and learn together and unlearn together. If you were friends before and now you are lovers, it's important for each person to say, okay, as lovers, these are the things that just don't go for me. And be generous to ask how would you want, be gentler. Yeah. And you can't treat me like the boys steal. Like, no,
be gentler,
that doesn't fly.
Be softer, you know, just speak to me
like a girl.
A lady, you know,
like your lady.
But I can appreciate that for some guys communicating can be hard.
Yeah,
like it's just not in their DNA. They can do stuff to show you that they appreciate you, but just getting it out there, as a language, can be extremely difficult.
Yeah, both culturally, but also from a biological perspective.
Mm-hmm.
As women, even our brains, we are wired for our language area, our speech area is so much more.
And they think we talk too much.
Well, they do, but it's biology too. It's also biology for us.
Yeah.
So it's saying, how do you then, in a heterosexual relationship, how do you get to a sweet spot of somebody who doesn't like talking too much with somebody who does? And the thing is, communicate about what would be the best way to do it together. Put a structure together if you must. If you're saying, look, I'm so busy, you know, can we have a date night where, you know, once a week where all phones are off, nobody's doing work, if there's kids in the house, the kids are sleeping or the kids are not there, and we just have some time. Don't leave communication to when you need to solve problems. You need to be able to communicate about nice things too.
So, you know, all of these things are all good, except life happens in people's lives.
Yeah.
People have children, people have normal other pressures. But one of those other difficult times is especially when there's a baby in the mix and people are not sleeping enough. People are exhausted. And there's always, without fail, the one feels they're doing more than the other.
Yeah.
In every relationship I know.
Yes.
When a new baby comes into the picture, there's one who feels like they're taking on more than the other. It's inevitable. Even if it may not be the case, but there's always one who feels more pressure.
Sure.
And I want us to navigate real life happening while we are also very nice with each other. Let me just, before we do that, let's go to Spoo. Spoo, good evening and welcome. Hi, Spoo.
Good evening, ladies. How are you doing?
We're good. How are you, Spoo? Welcome.
Good. I just want to share a realization and an observation. I think us, especially as black people, maybe the younger generations, maybe the Gen Zs know how to do this, but we don't know how to date. We don't know how to date because that's where a relationship should start, with dating. Dating means you're going out with a couple of people, one at a time, and you're getting to know them, right? And there's also the issue of, especially from a guy's perspective, we always pay for dates. Maybe dates, they should be 50-50, because at that point, it's a man and a woman getting to know each other, right? And to decide whether there's red flags in the conversation and there should be a second or a third date and so forth, right? But you'll find that dates become therapy sessions most of the time. Therapy sessions about previous relationships, which we should touch on. therapy sessions about situations at home, which is not best. I mean, it's not bad to touch on, but we never talk about what we want in a partner. Those are the difficult parts, you know. Those are the difficult parts to say, this is what I want in a partner. Yeah, we do touch, but I feel like that should be the major topic. And even when we do, people tend to have this notion that, no, I can change that one or two things that I don't like about this person, right? Which leads to then when the relationship starts, why is the relationship starting? Also, there's a problem there. You may find that the other one just needs financial support, and this guy or this lady is loaded. They are in a fancy restaurant in, I don't know, Sentin or wherever. He is just paying the bill without even, you know, squinting. She likes the car or he likes the car. The relationship, the dating communication is not the way it should go. The reason the relationship starts is not the proper reason. Or this guy just wants a woman that he can get compliments for from his peers about. With, hey, but he doesn't like the attitude, but he's thinking, no, maybe the attitude will change. Change for the worse or for the better.
Thanks, you know. Your response, Doc?
Sure. Spoo is actually touching on something really important. And if I had to just quickly summarize, it's the intentionality of a relationship. very often we get lost in the ocean of the feels. Oh, it felt so good spending time with Pamela. Oh, I'm so sexually attracted. Umuhle. And we kind of bank the real stuff. And that is
asking what really actually connects you properly. Beyond all that is, in fact, I often think right now, in this era, I think especially young men must be struggling with being judged based on what material things they have.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like actually it doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't matter who this person is if you're not materially what Instagram folks want you to be, then you have absolutely no chance, which I think is so sad.
It's very sad. And we're not building relationships if we're doing that. We are not, let's be honest, we are not building relationships. We're not building solid families for the future. We're not, also, remember, these things have a repercussion in terms of, it's not just, you're not living in the solo world. Let's say you this relationship goes on. Then you have a child. You spoke about how do we navigate when there's a child. If you've never had a conversation about just how do we deal with finances as a couple? Mm. How do we deal with sexual intimacy as a couple? How do we deal with families as extended families? It's gonna be a problem. Life will most definitely present you with obstacles that will either make or break you, and if you haven't done the groundwork first as a self and then together with the person that you're in a relationship with, you are sending an application straight for disaster.
And let's maybe ask the question how money has been an issue in either forming and building this relationship, or perhaps you're already in it. Yeah. And it's become a materialistic kind of relationship where you're not good enough, you're not offering enough, you're just not like honestly. Type thing, you know, your peers are doing 1, 2, 3, they're going ahead, here we are, we're not moving, we're not going anywhere, and this added pressure.
Yeah, well, but Mara, when this is, when I went Zan, what are you, because that's the thing for me. I really struggle with this concept about we are partners. Yeah. But you in some areas, the one is more a partner than the other. And the reality is life, you say it, life happens. Mm. What happens when this guy, God forbid, they lose their job. God forbid, they're in an accident, they can't work. God forbid, if they, you know, if they're a surgeon. Let's say I am in an accident as a surgeon. I can't operate my hands. And it goes back to that element of foundations, but also the kindness and the grace and the respect you have for the person. And if when you get to know a person and you have a value, you value who they are over and above what they can bring, it makes it a little bit easier to navigate through those difficult times. Yeah. But if you started off on,
And I'd like to hear from you guys, 086-000-0959, just to hear, you know, your own experiences. I mean, how tough is it to connect with people who are constantly looking for the material? You know, I think it's really, really tough now. I think it's really, really tough. Mm. You can send voice notes as well on 0636880959. So thanks so much for staying with us. So there's a massive request here saying, no, folks, let's get to the real thing. Communicating when it comes to intimacy, talking about the things that really matter.
Make the things happen.
The things that make things happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is an area of expertise. You are very familiar with this, where people are stuck with the shame, for instance, and all that comes with stigma and how we've been brought up, and very difficult to communicate through intimacy.
And also the other big thing we do, we always think, particularly sexual intimacy, everybody always goes in there thinking it's a performance. And I'm going to be scored, and I'm going to score the next person about how well they're doing. And then I must get a review afterwards. Manje baby, begunjani. And you've already set yourself up for...
Isn't that because people go and report?
To who?
Don't they?
To their girlfriends? We don't report the truth, though.
Oh.
If I am with a guy and he was, you know, things were not, didn't work so well, I'm not going to go to my friends and say, yo, Bafetu. And this is something that I think
I'm also, there are people
let me finish.
Who have these reputations. You know, and it's now the whole town knows.
It's when things go wrong and they're no longer together. Now you find out Kuri Skumba or Mang Mang Ai Gandhi. As we whilst you still love the person, like the person, protecting the person's
and now they go on social media. It's even worse. Guys,
no.
It's even worse. They go on social media.
That's mean. That's contempt. That's mean. That's just outright mean. Communicate before, during, and after intimacy. And the before in particular, get to know what the person likes, what they don't like. Sometimes we are also shy of our own things. You know, let's say, for example, I'm the kind of girl who just has no idea how to give oral intimacy. Mm. I'm not going to say to the next person, to my partner, "Isiyazimanje angikwazi." Why not? We should be able to say, "Oh, you like that? Teach me. I don't know how." Instead, I'll grind shame the persons with my teeth. Mm. The next thing, and sometimes they don't tell me, "Baby, don't do it like that. Do it like 1, 2, 3."
Isn't that maybe part of the problem?
Yeah.
Both entities sometimes don't know how to communicate because you feel like you're going to be either offending the other one when you say no.
Yes.
The other one is going to be afraid to go to levels that maybe are not comfortable with you.
Yes.
And we don't know how to navigate the space that makes both of you happy.
It goes back to one thing. Kindness, respect, and let's learn together. Let's teach each other. You have to be, and you cannot be willing to be vulnerable. And what it takes to have those kind of conversations is the willingness to be vulnerable, which means you're putting yourself on the line emotionally. And especially in the early stages of a relationship, you still don't know if I can trust myself with this person. Can I trust this person with the bits of me that I am scared of, that I am ashamed of, that I am uncomfortable with? And the reality is time is the grand equalizer. Friendship is the grand equalizer. You have to tap into those things because they make it
trust.
A little,
because once you've already built that trust, you can go in there feeling safe.
Safe, yes. When we feel safe, we are likely to open up. Mm. But when we don't feel safe, and there's a lot of reasons why we may not feel safe. In the early stages, it's fair. You know, it's fair. You don't know the person very well. And I often say, even with intimacy, we always think sexual intimacy is about things going inside other things. Not necessarily. Do other things. Walk. Watch movies
hang
together.
Hang out.
Do fun things that you get to see all the other qualities of the person outside of their performance in bed or their pocket.
Let's take a listen to a voice note.
Talking about material possessions and relationships, it's very interesting. I think in the 20s, things are a bit easier when it comes to relationships because I think most of us are in university, we've just met, and some of us are starting out in our careers. There's not much pressure, right? But I, Baba, in the late 20s and the early 30s going forward, right? It then becomes really, really tricky when it comes to material possessions because people have advanced in their careers in their 30s. They've most likely spent about a decade or so in their careers, and of course they have advanced. And then becomes a question of what do you bring to the table?
Can we agree that can we bring our real and true selves to the table? I mean, even as a doctor for qualified 2006. Mm. The struggles that you go through, even financially, I couldn't have predicted that. And and to look and say, oh, but Pamela, you've been in the broadcasting industry. How can you struggle this month or this year? How can you be going through a dip? I think let's take off that expectation. And it's regardless of whether we're talking to our girlfriends, because also the other peer pressure that happens is if Pamela's person, umtengele a Merc, saying a hammer, saying a gundu, I'm saying it's in fact, yes, I'm saying a limake, you can next door,
on credit,
right?
On credit.
On credit. Can we
take,
can we,
and then that people whole concept, are here telling you that they're doing well.
Can we look for what kind of a human being are you bringing to the table as opposed to what material you're bringing to the table?
And though the thing about it is that when you are bombarded by all these make-believe lives out there, I'm not sure people are telling the truth about what's actually going on in their lives.
Exactly.
I must say.
But the person you are with is eventually going to find out.
Yeah.
And that's betrayal, because you sold me something that you are not.
Yeah. I think, you know, stick to your own truth.
Yeah.
I'm not sure you should be benchmarking yourself against other people.
No.
And I hear the, you know, what this lady was saying about you've advanced. Well, I don't know. I don't know.
And also in your 20s, 30s, you really haven't built. You haven't, I mean, unless you.
And you probably have less responsibilities.
True.
You know.
True.
And I'm not sure that we should anyway be looking at that as a yardstick.
No, never.
Of what makes the partner a good partner.
And we neglect looking at whether the person is kind, whether the person is honest, whether the person even just loves themselves as an individual, whether this person is interested in building something with you. Because that's the thing. When we say we're coming to do a relationship, we're coming to start something new. Okay, fine, bring your resource, I'll bring mine, but we are building.
I suppose there is a fear. One of the people on X was saying there is a fear with people who come in to take, who are here, who are themselves just predators, who are here and are not here for love, are here just to take.
To take,
That's also quite a thing.
A big thing, and they are there, and they happen across relationships, romantic friendships, across, and it's a
and
game.
They're scammers. Let's call them who they
are. Yeah, and it's if especially to protect yourself. If you're not a scammer and you're really looking for something real, protect yourself by first of all having boundaries, especially in the early stages. People will give you the signals. It's just a matter of time.
You will know it.
And don't neglect. You know, sometimes we are so mesmerized by whatever. Yo, muhle, this person or this, whatever it is, a quality that is very external. We then dumb down the things that really matter and they come back to bite us.
Wow. And as you said, the signs will be there.
Yeah.
If this person is only interested in getting something from you, you can already see.
Yeah.
And don't ignore other people's observations.
Yes, absolutely. Especially if you've got good, trusted friends, family around you who have your best interest at heart.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes people are a little off the mark in what they say about the person. But have the conversation at the very least. Friend, why would you say that about this person? Why are you concerned? And if they're giving you something rational, don't be like, hi, unamona, or whatever. Be like, I hear you, chomi. I'm going to take this to heart, sleep on it, and I want to observe. Then you've got some footnotes from somewhere else outside of your heart that's bouncing in love and attraction and chemistry. Take your time and not just with the other person, take your time with yourself. I have this thing where I say, if in doubt, do nothing.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Gyne, thank you so much for coming through today. Thank you for walking this little journey with us today.
Yeah.
We'll have you again very, very soon. Awesome. I really appreciate it.
I look forward to it.
Before we go, folks, I did promise you an email address for every one of you who's asked the question, you know, how do we get hold of the MEC of Health in Gauteng? The email address is, please get your pens if you can or get your phones. It's kaogelo.malesa@gauteng.gov.za. I'll say that again. It's Kaogelo within kaogelo@gauteng.gov.za. That brings us to the end of the show. I'll be back tomorrow at 8.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.